Good evening.
Good evening.
If you look at the packet, it has a, that's my outline. You may wonder how I'm going to cover all these. I'm not. We will cover them in a way. Y'all all realize that our brother Rick is not with us. But we're, if you will, riding on his coattails. He was just in Irving and we had a conference on this matter. So I hope that Phil and I are full.
Amen.
And maybe we could just overflow a little bit.
Amen.
Because it's too wonderful.
Amen.
So I want to start off with a little introduction. And I don't know really where to start off, except to say, I think as a Christian, well, even as a non-believer, everybody realizes God is a mystery.
Amen.
You know what a mystery is? I don't know. A mystery is you don't know. You don't know what it is. Well, one day this mystery became a man. And when he became a man, he became mysterious. And mysterious still has an unknown element. Actually, you could say mysterious is not apprehendable with a human mind. You may think you understand, but actually that when he came, no one understood him. He was a mystery, but more than that, he was mysterious because he was a man. And that's why people couldn't understand. Who is this man? He does these things. He speaks these things. Who is he? Well, we know who he is. He is God. He is God incarnate to be a man. So, what did he do when he incarnated? He brought the mysterious God into humanity. And that's why he was divine and mysterious. Or you could say he was divine and human. Humanity is mysterious in itself, but when it gets mingled with God, it really is mysterious. It's even mysterious to us. Was that you, Lord? I don't know. Maybe me. Lord, help me. You know, the Christian life is a mysterious thing. But we can enjoy it. Over the years, I think I just asked Phil how many years Phil and Rick have been coming to this area, and he said, 8 years? About 8 years. I think this is my third time. I missed the last time, but I was here the two times before when you got into the divine and mystical realm. Right? And you heard words like simultaneity or simultaneous. I can understand simultaneous. That's, in other words, two things are happening, or more than two things. A lot of things are happening simultaneously. Hallelujah, I'm breathing and my blood is flowing. So I'm having some simultaneous action here. Well, when God became a man, he brought divinity into humanity. And that union became a divine and mystical realm. And so when you read the Gospels, that's what you're seeing. You're seeing a divine and mystical man. He's God and he's man. And he's living the divine life in humanity. Mysterious and mystical. So that's why everybody had a hard time with him. And actually, sometimes people have a hard time with us because we do things that some people don't do. And we don't do things that some people do. And sometimes people say, what is wrong with you? Right? But actually, we're just living the Christian life. That's what we're doing, and that's what we want to talk about this weekend. So although we've heard these terms, God became a man to make man God. In life and in nature, but not in the Godhead. In other words, we're not deity to be worshipped, but we are becoming God in life and nature. Amen. Wonderful, mysterious, and enjoyable, and sometimes puzzling, and sometimes difficult, because it's human and divine. And it's just mysterious. I'm reading the life studies of Acts right now. And I am just amazed how those life studies reveal God in especially Peter and Paul. And how they were, if you will, human patterns of men living the divine life. Right. You could also say God's history was put into these men. Yes. And they're carrying out the divine history in the human history. But actually, that's all our portion. We don't revere these men as, man, they're something else. They could do it and I can't. We think that sometimes, right? If we're honest. But you know what? When you read the book of Acts, I really love the author of the life studies. Because he does not hold back in his analyzing their human life, trying to carry out the divine history. He even, I was reading one recently, and he called Peter a chicken. He's a chicken. And actually, he mainly said, why did you go to Jerusalem? Now, this is Brother Lee talking about Peter and Paul. He said, why did they go to Jerusalem and argue? Why didn't they just read the Bible? Especially, what is it, Acts 1:8, right? You need to go to Jerusalem. That's what they were doing. To Samaria, right? And eventually to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, all they should have said was, we're just doing what the Lord told us to do. And you're questioning about it? Anyway, at one point, Brother Lee said, this is what's good about reading the life studies. Do you realize, I think most of you realize, the life studies themselves were given to us. They were all in trainings. They weren't just conferences. They weren't just messages given. I understand and I know that some of the life studies were added to. Brother Lee had more to say, especially about Ephesians. But most of them, they were given to us. So they're actually ours. And when we read them, Brother Lee's view was, it would open up the word to us. That we could mine the mine. We could dig out the riches. So I'll give you one example. In the portion where Peter was going to go to Cornelius' house, did you know he said he took how many? Remember how many brothers he took with him? Six, I believe. He took six brothers with him. Did you know that? He didn't go by himself. He took six brothers with him. The footnote says, which is public consumption. You know what I mean? The recovery version is public consumption. So he said that Peter was practicing the body, working in the body. You know, he took six brothers with him. That's the body, right? That's good. We should do that, right? Don't go by yourself. In the life study, Brother Lee said, the reason he took six brothers is he knew that he was going to get called on the carpet. He knew he was going to get questioned. He not only was going to a a Gentile, he was going to go into his house. Jews don't do that. What are you doing? Well, in Acts 15, he got called on the carpet. In a sense, you know, he had to give the, what happened? Well, he took six brothers because so they could be his witnesses. So you know what? That's when Brother Lee called him a chicken. He was a chicken. He had to take brothers with him. Anyway, my point is, when you read about these brothers, they were living the divine and mystical realm. And they were living the normal Christian life. So, this weekend, we want to advance, if you will, not just to see the divine and mystical realm. You remember when these messages were given here, first of all, I believe Ron started sharing the divine and mystical realm. Of course, he got it from the ministry, probably he shared it first. And then when Rick came here, he got to this matter of simultaneity, and he said there was a particular word he used that you needed an interface. Remember that word? Interface. How do you get to the riches of the divine and mystical realm? You need an interface. You remember what the interface was? Your heart. Whenever your heart turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Amen? Of course, he was talking about the Jews because they were veiled when they read the Bible. So he said, in the text, it says they turned their heart. He said, when they turned their heart, the veil was taken away. You know what the next verse says? And the Lord is the Spirit. Amen. So whenever you turn your heart, the Lord is the Spirit. You know, wait a minute. The Lord was always a Spirit. Are you saying he was not the Spirit before then? He wasn't the Spirit to me until I turned my heart. When we turn our heart, he becomes the Spirit to us. And we're touching the divine and mystical realm. Because that realm is a mingling of God and man. So we, as God-men, have to turn our heart. And the veil is taken away, and it doesn't stop there. It says, the next verse says, we with unveiled face. Paul is talking about the Jews turning their heart. But actually, when we turn our heart, we become unveiled. And we're able to behold and reflect the glory of the Lord. And we're being transformed, right, by the Lord's Spirit. So, most of us, I think, I don't know everybody here, but y'all all know that God became a man, right? Amen. You know John 1:1, right? Josh, you know John 1. Ben, you know John 1, right? The Word. Right? The Word was God. The Word was God. And 14 says the Word became flesh. That means divinity came into the flesh through Christ. That is the divine and mystical realm. But he had to go through a process in order to become the life-giving Spirit to get into us that we could enter in to the divine and mystical realm. So now we are mystical. When we're experiencing the divine life in our human life. And that's mainly where the divine and mystical realm is. It's in our daily life, in our living, in our failures. You know, next day or two we're going to get into especially our dear brother Peter. You know, he failed a lot, right? Just like us. There's a saying, I don't know if y'all understand this saying, he was caught with his foot in his mouth many times. That means he said something, he did something, and he wished he hadn't said it. And when the Lord touched it, he realized, oh, Lord Jesus. But you know what? That's how he learned Christ.
Amen.
In his failures, he started seeing Christ.
Amen.
So we want to get into this matter that we're going to fellowship, and I don't know exactly what to call it except the Christian life. We want to see what it is. What is this thing, the Christian life? What really is it? You know, to see the divine and mystical realm, that is a vision, and we can enter into it by experiencing divinity and humanity. But we're going to touch something that in the first, see that first, it says message 2, 3, and 4. Those are outlines. Message 2, which we actually will cover tomorrow morning, is from receiving the kingdom reward of Christ as the crown of righteousness. That is the conference in the International Chinese Speaking Conference in February of this year. I'm sorry, 2024, last year. And then we're also going to cover message 3, will cover a message from the intrinsic significance of the Christian life, which was the Memorial Day conference in 2024. And the general subject there is the Christian life. And then mysteriously, the reason I say mysteriously, I don't think the brothers, you know, the brothers who work on these outlines for these 7 feasts, they're before the Lord, trying to get the Lord's leading, what to cover. And I don't know, and you don't know, if they really saw what they were doing. Then you come to this next conference, which is Thanksgiving, November 2024, in Atlanta, and the grace in Peter's epistles. Living a Christian life, life under the government of God for the economy of God. What we've been realizing is the Lord in his sovereign leading was leading the brothers to reveal something that we need to take another step in our Christian life. So, we use this term a lot, practical, right? Don't you want to be practical? Well, the spiritual life is practical. But I love to look at my dictionary when I don't fully understand a word. I think we all somewhat know what practical is. But I think we mainly take that as something physical. Right? Let's do something practical. Don't be so spiritual. Be practical. Well, let me give you a definition of practical. See what you think. This is from the English dictionary. Practical, suited to actual conditions. Do you have any conditions? Do you have any situations? When the divine life mingle with the human life becomes practical, it will meet your condition. Then it goes on, useful, sensible, workable, achievable, attainable. That's pretty practical. Or brought about. I like this. Put into effect. I'm not going to get into the... I'm not an English major, so I'm not going to get that much into the difference between effect and effect. But anyway, this practice of what we're going to get into primarily is, you ready? Loving his appearing.
Amen.
That is the practicality of the Christian life.
Amen.
You may say, well, wait a minute, that sounds like a emotional practice. It is. Matter of fact, it's more than emotional. It's romantic. To love the Lord's appearing is romantic. I don't know, are there any, you don't have to tell me, but if there are any newlyweds here, I always ask this question. When you talk about being vital, that means you contact people. So I ask, do you contact your wife every day? Yes. Well, I ask Daniel, do you contact your wife every day? Why? You like to talk. I would say you love her. And you're romantic. We have a brother in Dallas. He just got married not long ago. And he told me his wife calls him every day at noon just to say, I love you. That's pretty romantic. Right? Romantic, sorry, I have to confess, that's not necessarily a word I consider that much. My wife can vouch for that. But I need to learn how to be romantic. That's why one of the points in this matter of the Christian life, it needs to be a life that's romantic, personal, intimate, and daily, and hourly, and moment by moment, that you can't wait for the Lord's appearing. It's not you're waiting for him to come in the future, which is mainly, we'll find out, that's mainly how we consider loving the Lord's appearing. But actually, it's daily. We need to come into this kind of Christian life. So that's why, and this is just a little introduction. Hopefully, we'll see something together. And we will take a step in this romance. So as far as truth goes, in the recovery, we have a lot of speaking. Right? A lot of speaking. So we're actually under the ministry of the age. Amen. We're under the teaching and fellowship of the apostles. So obviously, the Lord himself was in the divine and mystical realm, but our patterns primarily are men who are living in this divine and mystical realm. Amen. So that's why we need to study. And that's why I personally got into reading the life studies of Acts, because my motive was I'm not really that much in the gospel. And I wanted to see it. The more I've gotten into it, the more it's caused me to love the Bible. Because the life studies open the Bible. And I don't know how much I would see if I was not reading the ministry. One of my favorite verses is where Paul told Timothy, we're going to get into 2 Timothy. That is the last epistle that Paul wrote. And he wrote it to Timothy. How would you like to have had an epistle written to you? The epistle to Dan. Actually, you'd have. It's the epistle to Paul. And the epistle to Timothy. That's our epistle too. You know how that epistle starts off? I want to read it a little bit to you. Listen to this. This is in chapter 4. I solemnly charge you, Timothy, before God and Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, by his appearing and his kingdom. He was charging Timothy to live according to the Lord's appearing. The problem is, we push that way out there. Yes, Lord, I know you're going to come. I love your coming. How about, the Lord says, how about my appearing to you today? How about my appearing to you in your situation? How about my appearing to you in your family, in your job, As you're driving, as you fail, how about my appearing to you in everything?
Right.
And then he goes on to say, which is this, you see, we got this chart here. See this chart? This is what we're basically going to cover. And I would say, look at the bottom part first. Because what these three conferences that were given in 2024, what our realization recently is that the Lord was unveiling this matter of the Christian life. And in order to do that, we have to see it first. We have to see what the Lord is after. Well, Paul, speaking to Timothy, first of all, he charged him according to the Lord's appearing. But if you go on down, when you come to verse 7, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. That is the living of the Christian life. Whether you appreciate that or not, before this weekend is over, we're going to appreciate it more. Because actually, the goal of the Christian life is the reward. Christ's reward to us. That is the goal. Right? We want Christ to be our reward. So if he's going to be our reward in the coming kingdom, we have to have him as our reward now. So Paul lived his life and he was able to say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And then verse 8 says, henceforth, because I have finished my course, henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will recompense me in that day, and not only me, but all those who have loved his appearing. Just think about it. Have loved. Oh, Lord, I love you. Come, Lord Jesus. So I can love you more. And the Lord says, I am coming every day so you can love me more. So you can be those who have loved my appearing. That is how to receive the reward. So the Christian life is not just fighting the fight, but you have to fight the fight because it's a fight. You have to run the course. And you have to keep the faith. But if you're not loving the Lord, it doesn't matter how much you run. It doesn't matter how much you see. It doesn't matter how much revelation we have. If we're not loving the Lord, how are we going to enter into his reward? So to me, this is not a heavy word. This is a romantic word. If we're going to receive the crown, the secret is loving the Lord's appearing. So we have to be attracted to him. We have to be drawn to him. So that is why it has to become romantic. So this, Rick coined the word, when he was sharing this in Dallas, he said this matter of loving the Lord's appearing has to be romantic with the tenor of Song of Songs. The atmosphere, the realm, the feeling, the romanticism, if you will, the tenderness, the
passion.
Yes, romance is a passion, right? That is what our loving the Lord's appearing. It has to be romantic, according to Song of Songs. Kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. Come with me to the Spices Mountain. You know, the Shulamite in the beginning of Song of Songs, she said, "My beloved's is mine, and I am his." That's good. The Lord is mine, and I'm his. But after a lot of loving his appearing, if we go back and read Song of Songs and look for the Shulamite loving his appearing, and you may say, well, a lot of times she was hiding. Well, do you hide? Sometimes the Lord comes and finds you. Right? Remember the part about the lattice? And he somehow is on the other side of the lattice, but he's not. Somehow he is in her situation. And she's always kind of hiding. Until eventually, in the end, she says, "I am my beloved's, and his heart and desire is for me." So eventually, to run the Christian life as a race, to fight for the Christian life, actually what we need to do is fight to love him. That's the real fight, right? Everything wants us to love it. Everything wants our attention. Everything is sucking us into it. Right? That's what the world is. That's what everything is doing, is to take us away. So we have to fight. The real fight is to love the Lord's appearing. And to run the race is to run our course. I remember I was here, I don't know when it was, but I remember Phil was sharing one time, and he said, whenever a saint speaks in a meeting, a prophecy or a testimony, he said, what you're looking at and seeing and hearing is their course. The course they're running. Your situation. Recently, in a prophesying meeting, a sister shared that, and it was similar to, are you contacting the Lord when you contact people? And she said this person came to her who she was familiar with and was a friend, and she had a similar problem that she had had. And she said she came to her and she opened to her, and the first thing the Lord said was, the first thing she thought was, oh, I can sympathize with her. I can tell her some things. You know what she said? The Lord said, don't do that. What was that? That was the Lord's appearing. And she said, the Lord said, just pray. That is a situation. That is a realm in which we are in, and we don't even sometimes realize it, that the Lord is appearing to us. So that's why Paul said, Timothy, you've been called according to the appearing. But we all say, well, he meant the future. Because he also mentions the kingdom. Well, guess what? In the next few verses, he mentions the crown of righteousness. That's the kingdom. But he says, to those who love his appearing. Have loved. That's really key. In other words, their practice, their living, was loving the Lord's appearing. The Lord has given me the crown of righteousness, and I hope some of the other believers will get it too. If they start loving. Hey, we're loving. So we need to be in that. We need to be keep that kind of company. We need to be one with Paul. We need to see. Paul saw the secret. He saw the secret of the Christian life. He saw the secret of living in the divine and mystical realm. So anyway, these three conferences are going to open this to us. But we have to open to see it. I believe in this conference, it was in... I was not in Taiwan. This conference in February 2024 was in Taiwan. the ICSC, the International Chinese Speaking Conference, and the title was Fighting the Good Fight, Finishing the Course, Keeping the Faith, Loving the Lord's Appearing in Order to Receive the Reward of Christ as the Crown of Righteousness. And I heard this secondhand, but Ed gave the first message of this conference. And before he gave it, he was praying with some brothers, and he told the brothers, this conference is a very crucial step for the Lord's recovery. I hope we don't miss it. I don't know about you, but I never really, when I consider the Lord's appearing, it's mainly in the future. And I think that's most Christians. They're considering to love the Lord's appearing means in the future. But actually, then that's not the Christian life. That's the result of the Christian life. That's the effect of loving the Lord's appearing. The effect is the crown of righteousness when the Lord returns. But if we're not loving Him today, Lord Jesus. Anyway, I reading the life studies and reading the Word, you really see the pattern. I would say is Peter was a good pattern because he saw Christ. Well, remember we sung the song tonight, the look that melted Peter. Y'all all know when he got that look? The Lord, he told the Lord, I will not deny you. The Lord said, yes, you will. You'll deny me. And then he denied the Lord, but the good thing about it is he did it in the presence of the Lord. The Lord could see him, and he could see the Lord when he denied him. I'm not going to ask you, have you ever done that? Because I have. You know, the Lord tells you to do something and you do the opposite. Oh, I want to do that. Oh, yes, you will. I sometimes used to read and I'd say, sometimes, you know, you think you read the Bible and you say, I wouldn't do that. See, y'all are laughing because you've said the same thought. Oh, I'm smarter than that. Well, guess what? He must have seen, I don't know what he saw because he didn't tell us. But you just consider, you deny the Lord and you're there in his presence and he looks at you as you're denying him. What do you think he saw? Because later I'll show you something in a minute, but he saw something. First of all, he saw he was a failure. I mean, that's obvious. That's easy to see. I see that all the time. But do I see the Lord is what I need? I think he had to have had the thought, I can't live the Christian life. I just have to love this person. And he could be my endurance. You know, Paul later said in Hebrews, we need to run the race with endurance. What? I shouldn't say what. Who is your endurance? Are you your endurance? I'm not. I don't endure very well. But the Lord can be our endurance. If we see Him, if we see Him. I'm going to read you a quote late tomorrow night. Where Brother Lee gets in this matter, but I do want to share with you Paul as a pattern. Reading Acts, you know, he had three times where he defended. Well, he didn't. I wouldn't say he defended himself. I mean, it does say he defended himself, but actually, he was testifying. He was testifying. So. He was actually loving the Lord's appearing from his conversion. But, I can't get into it tonight, but I'll just tell you what I've been struggling with, and that's his description to Agrippa of his conversion. And that description is where he said, is 26:16 of Acts. Acts 26:16. I believe I'm right. Let's see if I am. Yes. This is it. Paul's conversion. You know, after he fell and he, you know, he was blind and who are you and I'm the one you persecute. He saw who Jesus was. But the Lord said, rise up and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a minister and a witness, both of the things in which you have seen me and of the things in which I will appear to you. So, there's two things here. Things. Things. Do you have any things? You are a thing. I'm sorry. Thing, thing. What is it? Sorry, Texan, somebody, you lose the pronunciation. We are things. But the main thing is we have things. We're involved in things. We have children, we have wives, we have roommates, we have bosses, we have situations, we have cars, we have houses. We have things, personal things, intimate things. We have all kinds of things, but are we seeing Christ? Do we see Christ in the things? A lot of times we see things that we think is a revelation. Or we get light on something. And we may, oh, I got some light. But did I see Christ? No doubt Peter got the light when he was standing there denying the Lord. No doubt about that. But if he was really loving the Lord's appearing, he would have gotten it when the Lord told him, you'll deny me. But he didn't. That's kind of what we do. You know, sometimes it takes a long time. You go through things. You make the same mistakes. One day, you see the Lord. You don't just get clear about how to handle it. I was doing something one day, and I made a mistake. It was a business thing. And I was bemoaning it. And as I was walking away from it, you know what I said? This is just exposure. I said, boy, you were not on your game today. You ever heard that phrase? I wasn't on my game. You know what the Lord said? He said, you did not come to me. Forget about your game. You don't have a game. What do you mean you got a game? What's wrong with you? But that's the way human beings feel. I didn't do a good job. Because I wasn't on top of it. And the Lord said, that wasn't the problem. You didn't see me. You didn't come to me. Anyway, this is Paul as a pattern. He was appointed to see Christ in the things. How about that? The little things, the big things. That's the Christian life. So actually, the Christian life, if you look at this diagram, it is to fight. It is to run. It is to keep the faith. How do you do that? By loving His appearing. If we love His appearing, we get the reward. But we get the reward now. Don't wait to get the reward. The reward is waiting. The Lord is wanting you to get Him. And the more you get of Him, the more you will get of Him. Right? So anyway, I think I should stop. I mainly just wanted to kind of, if you will, set the nail. And we will get into more details of these three messages. But I hope I did a... I hope I saw the Lord while I was speaking tonight. It doesn't matter that much how well I did. But did I see the Lord? And you know what? I saw the Lord in the Word. Actually, yesterday, I was out and about. And I started to look at something. And the Lord touched me. Look at me. And I believe I saw the Lord is looking at me. And if he's looking at me, I need to look at him. And I told the Lord, be my look. Be my look, Lord. I look at a lot of things. You know, these things, these eyeballs, they just get you in trouble. I mean, how much time do we waste looking and thinking about things? And so I did at least a little bit. And I actually, there was some result. I turned away. I didn't look at it. But that's not the point. If I said, well, I had a victorious day, I didn't look at the news or whatever it is, that may still not be Christ. It may be, I don't know, what difference does it make what it is? And I'll read you a quote tomorrow where Brother Lee says something like that. No matter what you experience, if you're not seeing Christ, it's vain. Because it's a waste of time. It keeps me from running the race. It keeps me from fighting the fight. It keeps me from keeping the faith. So, that's the introduction. We're going to get deeper into it. We'll see more. But it's primarily based on these three conferences put together. We're going to see there's an increase of development in how to live the Christian life. Amen? You know, one thing Brother Lee did nearly every time, even before he introduced prophesying, after he shared, he was always say, "I want to hear what you have to say." And when he would do that, I think, "You think we got something better?" But he would say, "I get light from your sharing. You see things in a kind of a different way than I do."